This report is coming from San Antonio, Texas, where the NFPC, the National Federation of Priest Councils, is holding its annual convention. The title of the convention, Tomorrow's Parish Today. I am going to just zero in on the first talk, which was given by Cardinal Mahoney, Roger Mahoney of Los Angeles. And he brought up 17 points for consideration. And I believe that anybody who is in parish life, whether they are a layperson or a priest, can concur that all of these 17 issues are well worth pondering. What are they? The first issue is, as he calls it, what he found, the harsh generational divides between the younger priest and the older priest. He found that a lot of younger priests are challenging the orthodoxy of older priests. And he tells a story of one priest who was newly ordained, and it was his first Sunday in a parish, and he got up on the pulpit and announced that he was there in order to correct the heresies of the pastor. Needless to say, on Monday, he was gone. This, by the way, theme of older and younger priests taking on each other ran through the convention. I found it very interesting that the other speakers, in one way or another, were alluding to it or addressed it directly. Apparently, there is still this problem of younger priests who somehow or another feel that the older priest or the church in itself is not up to par, and they're going to straighten it out. And, of course, there is resentment on the other side. And the whole problem, really, when you boil it down, is how do we, as a priesthood, act as one and not against each other? The second point that Cardinal Mahoney alluded to was the fact that we are now in a digital age. We're also in an age of emails and phone messages. And that, in a way, it has become very impersonal as far as running a parish. So often all we get is a voice mail or some digital voice pointing us to this number or that number in order to contact somebody, and we never seem to get to the real person. He gave the example of trying to run down some new priest that he had just ordained and just wanted to say hello, and it took him a couple of weeks to get in contact with them, because all he kept getting was this voice mail, and he just wasn't able to contact him. I think this is a very interesting point, and a point that I'd like to write a column on, and I'd like to address the whole idea of how we make a parish more personable at a time in which more and more we're relying on technology to help us deal with great numbers of people. But the people don't get to us personally, and we don't get to them personally. And how do we do this in a day and age in which, yes, a pastor of 3,000 families has enough on his hands, and this is a nice way of, you know, keeping things in order. But how do you do that without depersonalizing a parish and making it into nothing but voicemails and emails and whatever? This is a question. We're in a new age, and we need new ways of keeping the personal in an age which can become very impersonal. The next question he raised is the fact that the permanent diaconate is moving ahead and growing in leaps and bounds, and as a researcher I can confirm this. I've seen its growth since the first national study that we took. But he feels that the permanent diaconate has outgrown theological reflection, that what we have said about it as far as the diaconate being distinct for its service to others needs more theological reflection, new definitions, because as we're moving ahead, that theology has to keep up with the times and address those times, and that we do not have really a good theology of the diaconate today. What we had in the past was excellent, but that was for the past. Today we need to reformulate what it means to be a permanent deacon today in the church, and what really the church of today is calling for the diaconate to do. Another question that was raised, the fourth point, was the fact that we have diaconate and we have lay ministerial leaders. And the question is, how do we work with them better so that each has their own distinct, unique identity, and yet they are working together? And then what should they be doing today that, well, 10 years ago or 50 years ago, they wouldn't have to do? What are their new roles and how do they respond to them? And next point, point five actually, again goes back to priests and their training. And again it goes back to our first point, the younger priest. And he raised the question as to, are they clear about their identity? Do they know what it means to be a priest today? And are they being trained to be flexible and not inflexible? Are they being trained to learn how to serve and not be authoritarian? As you can see in these remarks, again, there's that concern that this new generation of priesthood is somewhat inflexible, somewhat authoritarian, and somewhat trying to find an identity for itself. It's not clear as to exactly what today's priest should be like. I know as a person who has taught teachers that the more a teacher is insecure in their matter or what it means to be a teacher, there is a tendency, it's a law of nature, to become more authoritarian. When you're insecure, you latch on to whatever is going to give you security. And in most cases, authoritarianism is one of the things that is latched onto. Next, he talked about, this is point six, the whole idea of a priest coming from another culture and themselves not being into what we call multiculturalism. What do we mean by multiculturalism? Well, we mean that when we are dealing with other cultures, we get into their cultures and we try to understand them. And this is a difficult on both sides of the border. Somebody coming from Mexico to here has to learn about our culture, but also has to get into the fact that a priest from Mexico might be working with priests from India or the priests who are very American or very Vietnamese. And they have to become multicultural in their aspect. It cannot just be one culture. That's the name of the game today in most parishes that really require four or five different languages to be able to communicate to the parishioners who are there from five or six different cultures. I've heard as many as 100 different cultures in a parish. And we talk about 100 different cultures. For example, you may have somebody from Latin America, but Latin Americans are not just one. You got Nicaraguans, you got Bolivians, people from Chile, Peru, Argentina. They're all different, and to lump them together is just not proper. The next question that was raised is that, and this is a good one, and I think most people can agree with it, many of our liturgies, and especially the homilies, are poor. Either they're too theatrical, Cardinal Mahoney did not say this, but this has been a complaint of other people, or they're too dry, they're lifeless. And the thing that Cardinal Mahoney pointed to most of all was the fact that many of the homilies seem to lack a real understanding of Scripture and the application of Scripture to everyday life so that it is meaningful, it's contemporary, and it really brings out God's work in today's society as Scripture should do. It's applied better. But in order to do this, you've got to be well-based in Scripture, which means really something we've always said about the priesthood. Priesthood is a continuing, ongoing education, and its main concern should be the liturgy and Scripture. It's life of sacraments. The better we understand this as priest, the better our liturgies will be. The next concern was the slowing down of ecumenical concerns. There was a time in which we were really working hand in hand with other denominations, and we were working as one and helping each other. And there was an outreach to our other brethren. Today, we don't hear too much about it. We don't read very much about it. It seems to be on a back burner, except where places really make this their number one concern. But those places are few and in between. And it is true that if we could get together better with our other brethren of other religions, there's no limit to the social changes and good we could do. And if we were unified, there is so much truth in the fact that in unity there is strength. And then a concern of the cardinals, and I think a concern of many priests, is the fact that there are in parishes not enough emphasis on the social concerns of life. For Cardinal Mahoney, of course, he is dealing with the immigration problem. And he pointed out that he's very, very concerned about this. Of course, being in Los Angeles, he would be, and he's always been on the books as being very concerned about it. And the church has been very concerned about it. And the church has written about it and given its position. But do parishioners know those positions? And most of all, do they go along with them? He pointed out that several times he has pointed out the injustices of the border and immigration. And the letters he gets from Catholics, who are supposed to be good Catholics, are just atrocious because they disagree. Not only they disagree, but they come down very hard on the issue. So social concerns, social justice concerns have always been a bugaboo in parish ministry. I live with the Monsignor George Higgins, who was on the front lines in this particular area, especially with the labor unions. And anytime you get into that area, people say, why don't you stay in the church? You don't belong out there on the streets. And it's always been a bone of contention. How much do we talk about the social justice issues from the pulpit? On this topic, by the way, we have another interview with Dr. Schneck of Catholic University, who is the chairman of the Department of Political Science, and it'll be well worth listening to what he has to say on this and how much of he feels that priests should really be addressing what he calls the moral imperatives, which is really social justice issues in the world. Next, point 10. We have the renewal of the Latin Mass, and it was questioned as to whether or not now because we have the Latin Mass and then we have the Mass of the Vatican II era, whether we're creating two communities rather than one. As we all know, a parish is supposed to be number one. We know there are multicultural situations, many cultures in a parish, people with different opinions, and all of that, but we're supposed to be working towards unity. And here I think the question is, as we have now introduced the Latin Mass again, are we creating break-off groups who feel they don't need their church or they are special in their parish and there's a break-off divide in the parish? Issue 11 regards the church's positions on sexuality. And here it was asked, how do we better articulate the church's position on these issues? And the big question is, are we articulating our positions in a way that the new generations can understand what we're talking about? It was pointed out that the new generations, the younger generations, have a definite articulation on issues that, and the language they use is a new language. And the question is, do we need a new language in this particular area? The 12th issue was a very interesting one, and one which I must say is very dear to my heart. We live in an age in regards to quiet time. There isn't any. And it was suggested that maybe we should have more parish retreats, inexpensive ones, in which people can get away for a weekend and just be quiet and contemplative, reflective, and get away from the humdrum rushing all the times, the news and all of the other things that distract us and distract our mind and thinking. This is, I think, a wonderful, wonderful suggestion. And when it was suggested, the cardinal seemed to suggest that they do this with the parents of newly baptized children and children who are going to receive communion. The next point is what he calls a need for reconsidering reconciliation. I will leave this discussion at this point right now. The point is that what we need today is to realize that Saturday is no longer the day for confessions. People just don't put aside Saturday to go to confession. That really, we have to find new times in order to make this sacrament more available to the people on their time. He did also mention one other thing that goes along with the sacraments, and that is that we make better use of the communal anointing of the sick, that it is offered more frequently. He has found through his own experience, as we have in our parishes, that people will come to these services, and they will participate in them, no matter how old or young they are. They have deep meaning in our sacramental life. Well, this is the end of a commentary on or a report from the National Federation of Priest Councils that was held in San Antonio. I would suggest if you want to get the full script on this that you write the NFPC, and they have recordings of all of the speakers that they had at their convention. Amen.